In a couple of weeks, we're going to come and make a recommendation to the church that we change our constitution. And one of the big changes that we're going to present is that we have deacons. Now, we've been talking, I've mentioned this, it's been over a year. And in one way, for some reasons, I'm glad that I didn't get it done while I was working. But I've had no excuse since I've retired. And Reg asked me a moment ago, he says, since you retired, you probably got plenty of spare time. And I told him, I said, no, I've actually come to understand what people that have retired before me mean when they say after they retired, I just don't know when I had time to work. And I don't know when I had time to work. I told somebody yesterday, I'm finding it harder to get things done after I've retired than when I was working. And she told me, she said, well, that's because you got all the time in the world and you're not pressed to get it done. It's going to get done in a week or so, and we're going to bring a recommendation to you. And again, the part of that recommendation, a big part of the change, is that we have deacons at our church. It's a biblical office. As we read here in Acts chapter 6, the early church at Jerusalem had deacons. And I know that some people in our church, that deacons conjures up a bad connotation in their heads, in their minds, because they've had some negative experience with deacons. And it's because they've known a group of deacons that have tried to do things that are not in their biblical job description. Okay? And I'll just be very clear, just so that, you know, and the reason I'm preaching this sermon tonight is because I want us to be of one mind on this thing. I want us to be on the same page. But let me be very clear. Deacons do not run a church. Deacons do not run the pastor. The original purpose of a deacon was to help the apostles in the ministry of the church, as we just read about, in taking care of the widows and passing out food. And the purpose of deacons haven't changed down through the ages, down through time. The purpose of a deacon remains the same today as it was when the office was established here in Acts chapter 6. The deacons are a help to the pastor in carrying out the ministry of the church. And again, they do not on their own make decisions for the church. They bring recommendations to the church. They don't make decisions for the pastor. They don't tell the pastor what to preach. I mean, that ain't going to change. Ain't nobody, that's not good English here, I apologize, but nobody's ever told me what to preach and except for God. And I mean, people make suggestions, and I take those suggestions, and I pray about them. And if the Lord leads me, I'll preach a message on a subject that somebody has suggested to me. But nobody tells me what to preach. I don't get a book from somebody from the convention that tells me what to preach. I try to preach what God tells me to preach. So they are a help. And when we vote to change the Constitution, when we vote to have deacons, what I'm asking every member of our church to do, if you've had a bad experience with deacons in the past, I'm asking you to forget that. I'm asking you to think about the biblical purpose that God intended deacons to fulfill. And I'm asking you to think about how they can be a help to our church. Now, tonight, I want to do a Bible study from the 7 verses that we read from Acts chapter 6. And again, the reason that I'm doing this, I want us to be on the same page. I want us to agree. I want us to be in unity on this decision. You know, one of the great characteristics of the church at Jerusalem was their unity. You can go back and you can read in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, and Acts chapter 3. The Bible says over and over again, they were in one accord. And that's what I desire for our church, that we will be in one accord. And so I want to spend a little bit of time tonight, and I want to mention 6 things that speak to me, that I hope speak to you out of these 7 verses when it comes to deacons. So here we go. Number 1, the need for deacons came about as the result of growth in the church. The need for deacons came about as a result of growth in the church. It says in chapter 6, verse 1, and in those days when the number of disciples were multiplied. The church at Jerusalem started out, and the apostles did everything. I mean, they taught, they preached, and they took care of the ministry of the church. I mean, they distributed food to widows. They went and visited sick people. They went and visited people that couldn't come to church. And by the way, back then they didn't have a church building that they came to. They held churches in various houses, in people's homes. And the apostles would go to those homes and teach and to preach. But as the church grew, more people were added. And by the way, that's how a church grows. A church grows not by buying more property or expanding their building. A church grows as more people come into the church and become part of that church. I mean, we can read in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people saved and baptized on the day of Pentecost. In chapter 3 and chapter 4, 5,000 saved and baptized. So just in a matter of a couple weeks, they had 8,000 people that joined the church. And the apostles, who were doing everything before, got to the point where they couldn't do it all. They began to have to make trade-offs. Do I spend the time preparing and studying and praying so that I can preach and teach? Or do I spend my time in ministering to people, in service to people? And they got to the point where they couldn't do both. They could do both before the church grew. But when the church got bigger, it got to the point where they could not do it all. And they were beginning to make choices. And what the people wanted them to do was to minister. You say, how do you know that, Brother Darrell? Well, if you read in the verse, it says, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. They wanted the apostles to give up their prayer time and their study time and make sure that everybody was cared for. By the way, that's a very legitimate request. I mean, it was right for them to want that. And so the need for deacons resulted from something good, growth in a church. Now, the church could have said, well, no, we don't want to have deacons. We want the apostles to do it all. But what that is saying is they wanted the church to stay small. They did not want the church to grow. And a church should grow. A church needs to grow. By its very nature, a church needs to grow. And so as it grows, that need for trade-offs comes. And like the apostle says, they use the word, it's not reason. And that word reason means desirable. It's not desirable for us to leave the word of God to serve tables. What they were saying is preparation is needful. Spending time in prayer is needful. Spending time in the Word of God is needful. Now, it's also needful for everybody to be ministered to, for nobody to be left out, for nobody to be neglected. We need to do it all, but they said we can't do it all as the church grows. And so the need for deacons came about as the result of growth, just like it is in our church. We have grown as a church. I mean, when we were running, and many of you have testified the past several weeks, you know, we used to have a crowd of 50 and say, boy, we're doing good. We used to have a crowd of 70 and said, boy, we're doing good. But the church grows. And as the church grows, we need deacons. Number two, the need for deacons came about because they needed to do more in ministry. The church needed to do more in ministry. Again, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now again, I want you to notice in the scripture, there's no refuting that. Nobody's saying, well, it's not true. We're treating everybody the same. What the murmuring was about was actually happening. There were people that were being neglected. There were people that needed to be ministered to that were not, because the apostles couldn't handle it all. Now, and again, just follow with me. This is just common sense. A church grows as more people come into the church. As more people come into a church, there is more need for ministry. For example, as more people come into a church, there will be more people that get sick. As more people come into a church, there will be more people that go to the hospital for one reason or another. As more people come into a church, there will be more shut-ins that church needs to minister to. As there more people come into that church, there will be more people who have children that need to be married, that have folks in their family that need to be buried, that have folks in their family that need to be ministered to one way or another. As more people come into a church, there will be more people that have physical and emotional needs that need to be met and ministered to by the church. And by the way, that's why we are here, to meet those needs. And I've said this many, many times, and I'll say it again tonight. I do not know how people that don't have God in their life and don't have a loving church family make it through the things of life that happen to every single person. Now, they make it. You say, well, preacher, they make it. I know they make it. But the making it is a whole lot easier when you know that there's a God in charge and when you know that you have a group of people that love you and are praying for you and will help you as you make your way through it. And as a church, that's what we need to be. We need to be a group of people that ministers not only to our own members, but to those that are outside of our church. And so as we grow, there will be more people to minister to. The list of hurting people will continue to grow, and our job as a church is to care. Is to care. Is to care and meet the needs of those people. And as we care and meet those needs, we will have an opportunity to share Christ. And I cannot tell you the countless number of people that have gotten saved because this church was willing to minister to their families. We were willing to open the doors when we didn't know them. They could use our facilities. We would go and be there with them. And scores of people have been saved because we as a church have ministered to them. And as we minister to people, just like our verse for the year says, they see our good works and they glorify the Father which is in heaven, and it draws them closer to God. It makes them want to be more like Christ. So again, the need for deacons arose because of growth. The need for deacons arose because the church needed to do more in ministry. Number three, deacons allowed the apostles to stay in the Word of God and prayer. In verse 2 it says, it is not reason or desirable that we should leave the Word of God and serve tables. Verse 4, they said, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. The apostles needed to pray. They needed to study the Word of God so that they could teach and preach. Now, the daily ministration, the Bible calls it, the daily ministry prevented them from doing that. I mean, they were caught up, as well they should be, in serving people, in ministering to people. And by the way, I don't want anybody leaving the service saying, well, the preacher wants deacons so that he don't have to do that anymore. That's not true. And it's not true that Adam won't do that anymore. I don't want us to elect deacons and we sit back and quit ministering to people. No, 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 no. That's not it. We will still continue to do that. I will still make those trade-offs because I'll tell you what, I would rather spend my time in service as opposed to study. I really would. I'd just soon be at the hospital than home studying my Bible, although I like to study the Bible. I'd just soon be at the funeral home trying to comfort somebody as I would spending time in prayer. They're both important. I need to do both. In fact, you need me to do more of this than you probably need me to do this. Because unless I spend my time doing this, I'm not worth much as a pastor. I need both. And so I don't want anybody to leave this service and say, well, the preacher just wants deacons so he can sit back and eat bonbons. No, that's not true. I don't like bonbons anyway. There's still going to be a trade-off. I mean, I'll spend time in study and prayer, but I will also spend time in ministering to you and others in our church. But that's what the apostles, they needed that time. They needed that time in prayer. They needed that time in the Word of God. And taking care of the widows, the daily ministration that they had to be involved in, did not allow them to do that. And so they said, look, it's not desirable for us to walk away from the Word of God. It's not desirable for us to walk away from prayer. We need some help. And so they said, deacons will allow us to do that. And again, the apostles and pastors and preachers need to spend time in the Word of God. They need to spend time in prayer. When a preacher comes to a pulpit, you do not need to hear his words, you need to hear God's words. When a preacher comes to a pulpit, you do not need to hear his instructions, you need to hear the instructions that come from God. When a preacher comes to a pulpit, you do not need the encouragement that he can give, you need the encouragement that only God can give. And every church needs a pastor that spends time with God so that he can come back before you with God's message. Deacons allow the apostles to do that. Deacons allow a pastor to do that today. So, number three, deacons allow the apostles to stay in the Word of God and prayer. Number four, deacons were selected by the church. In verse 3 it says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you. You look ye out among you. And it says in verse 5, and they chose. The apostle said to select seven. Seven men to serve the church in this capacity, to help with the daily ministration, with taking care of the widows and passing out the food. And in this chapter, it's given some qualifications. The Bible says they need to be of honest report. In other words, they need to be honest people. They need to tell the truth. They need to be honest in all their dealings. They need to be trustworthy. They need to be, the Bible says, full of the Holy Ghost. Say, preacher, can't everybody be full of the Holy Ghost? Yes. The Holy Ghost will fill up every person that allows him to. Everybody gets the Holy Ghost when you get saved. And the Holy Ghost will fill up every part of you that you open up to him. And deacons are supposed to open up all of themselves to the Holy Ghost so they can be full of the Holy Ghost. And then it says they're supposed to be full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So every single man that stands before us as a deacon needs to be a person that fears God, reverences God, holds God in awe. And then the Bible says in the book of James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Deacons need to be a group of men that know they need God's wisdom and spend much time in prayer asking for that wisdom. Now, as the church looked out among themselves, they found seven men that met those qualifications. They found Stephen, they found Philip, they found Prochorus, they found Nicanor, they found Timon, they found Parmenas, and they found Nicholas. And by the way, there was more qualifications added for deacons over in 1 Timothy chapter 3. They were to be grave, reverent. They were not double-tongued, which means honest. They were not given to much wine, so they could use a little wine, but not much. Is anybody still out there? They could use a little wine, but not much wine. Not greedy of filthy lucre, money. They held the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. They were blameless. The husband of one wife, ruling their children and houses well. And then also in that chapter, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there were qualifications given for their wives. Their wives were to be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And when we choose our deacons, we will use the qualifications both from Acts chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3. So deacons were chosen by the church. Number five, when they chose deacons, it pleased the whole multitude. It pleased the whole multitude. Verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude. In other words, everybody was of one mind. Everybody was in agreement. Everybody was in unity on this decision. Everybody was in one accord. Everybody was in favor. My prayer is that we as a church will be the same way. That we will be of one heart, of one mind. We will be in unity. We will be in one accord as we vote to change our constitution and make deacons an office of our church. If you are against it, I would ask you tonight to ask yourself why. Why? It was, again, a biblical office set up for a good reason, set up with good men, and set up with good results. Because, and this is point number six, the Bible says in verse 7, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly." The word of God increased. In other words, because deacons were included in the church, because they took some responsibility off the apostles could go and they could preach, and the word of God increased. In other words, it spread. They were able to preach it in more places. They were able to teach it in more places. It was able to go farther than it was before. And as a result, the number of disciples were multiplied. In other words, more people got saved. And not only does it say the number of disciples were multiplied, but they were multiplied greatly. Multiplied greatly. And by the way, that's the way it should be. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our job is to spread the gospel. Our job is to spread the word of God. Our job is to increase it, like it says in that verse. And as we do that, people hear the word of God. They hear that they're sinners. They hear that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is separation from God. They hear about a God who loves them, like we talked about this morning, unconditional love that offers them the free gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, and all they got to do is come and take it, come and receive it, and they can be saved. And I claim the same thing for our church. I claim for our church that the word of God would go forth from this place like it has this past year. It would be preached at every opportunity we have to preach it. It would be taught in every opportunity we have to teach it. And as that word of God goes forth, we'll claim the promise where the word of God goes forth, conversions come. And people meet Jesus Christ as their Savior. And people are saved, and people are baptized, and people are added to the church. And when a church does that, when it holds up this book and faithfully preaches this book, then God will honor that church and add to it daily such as should be saved. That's what happened last year. That's what we're going to pray happens again this year. That's why we're here. Why we're here. And so again, in a week or so, we're going to be bringing the recommendation to you. And my prayer is that we can be of one heart and of one mind. And we can take this biblical office, put it into our Constitution, and use it the same way that the early church in Jerusalem used it, to bring more men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ. As a church, to minister to more people and be what we ought to be as a church. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this book. Thank you that it tells us what we need to be, not only as an individual, but what we need to be as a church. And so I pray tonight, Father, that the folks would take this message in the spirit in which it was intended. Father, that we could be of one mind and one heart, and that when we make this decision, we could be in unity as we make it. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they would understand that they're a sinner. And that there is a penalty for that sin, but that when Jesus went to the cross, he paid their penalty for them. And tonight, all they have to do is like the two little girls did this morning. They just have to come and receive that gift that Jesus has purchased for them. So I pray if there's just one person here tonight that's not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that they would come and we could take the Bible and show them from the Bible what to do to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for Christians that are here. I pray, Father, that you would help us to shine, that we could let our light shine, the reflection of the light of the world, so so that others could see our good works and glorify you and come to you. Bless this time of invitation. Use it as you see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.